This Israel Report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. How are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. Wow, it's incredible how short a weekend can be and how much news can build up and how many stories can build up over the weekend. Of course, we have a hostage release to talk about, which I would like to talk about. But one of the interesting things that's come out of the release of hostages is, of course, the relay of information from hostages still held in Gaza to members of their family through hostages who have been released. And a good example of that is the case of Elia Cohen, who is held in Gaza still and is one of those 33 who is still due to be released as part of this first phase of the deal. Mm-hmm. And Elia was held along with Eli Sharabi and Or Levi approximately a week before they were released from captivity. And Or and Eli have come back to Elia's family to pass a message to his mother. And the message that they've passed to Elia's mother is that even though he has been kept chained up in tunnels for a very long period of time, he makes sure to say Kiddush on every Friday night before Shabbat. And he prays every morning. That was the message that Elia asked to be passed back to his family, pending his possible release as part of the next two phases of the deal that are due to take place over the next 2 weeks. So even though there are these signs of life that are coming out, which are extremely welcome to the hostage families, particularly those people who had no idea whether their loved ones, their family members, were still alive or not, but some of the messages coming out are really heartbreaking. And when you hear about the conditions that Elia has been kept in spite of him ensuring to say the prayer on Friday evening, every Shabbat, to mark the Shabbat occasion and to pray every morning, it doesn't remove the view, the vision that one has in one's mind of him being chained up in tunnels in Gaza.
It's impossible to imagine. I was asking listeners earlier, 500 days and what it means to them. What are the lessons learned? And it's a very difficult question because there are so many. We just live in a completely different world to that which we lived in 501 days ago.
I absolutely agree. And I remember Howard on the first day of the war, immediately after Simchat Torah, when you and I had the first opportunity to speak, and I remember feeling so dazed about the events that had taken place over that weekend. And one of the things that I remember saying is that we can never go back to what we were before the weekend. This was, I think, on the Monday or the Tuesday that we spoke. And I remember saying we were at war and we can simply never go back to what we were before. And I didn't even understand the extent of that message back then. But now, 500 days later, it's clear to me that we can never go back, that the world has changed substantially. And I've changed in the way that I see the world, and I think that we all can make the same claim. But of course, it is 500 days, not only of the war, but perhaps more importantly, 73 hostages remain in Gaza, many of them alive, some of them we know not alive. And in fact, the hostage families have called for a fast day today. And so people who wish to participate in that, even if you might not have begun your day fasting, maybe could even fast for some of the day, just to mark this occasion that it shouldn't go without some sort of a consequence and a significance, that 500 days, 73 people remain in Gaza. And we don't really see how they're all going to come out. I mean, there are plans for some of them to be released over the coming weeks. But we still are kind of rolling from week to week at the moment, not really knowing what we can expect a week later.
What are we meant to, where are we in the deal? I mean, what are there meant to be more hostages released this week?
There are meant to be more hostages released this week. As part of the first phase of the deal, there were supposed to be 7 dates of hostage releases. All in all, 33 hostages were supposed to have been released in that first phase. We've had 5 dates already where hostages were released. There's still a good number on the list of 33, I think 17, who still haven't been released and who are due to be released over the course of the next 2 hostage release dates. And then theoretically, we are supposed to kick into phase 2 of this deal, which is still currently being discussed. But significantly, phase 2 involves Hamas being removed from any power in the Gaza Strip. And Hamas have already come out saying that they are willing to hand it over to the Palestinian Authority. But one of the things that listeners might not be aware of is that the IDF has been conducting significant operations within the Palestinian Authority area, within the West Bank, as some people like to call it, whatever you prefer. I don't take any political view here. Let's just call it what it is. And this has all been very much under the radar. It hasn't been widely reported, but many, many people have been removed from their homes while the IDF have gone in and done a cleanup of places like Jenin and Tul Karem and other areas around the Palestinian Authority area. And there's not been a peep from the Palestinian Authority about these operations that the IDF has undertaken. Some complaints about people being removed from their homes, but nothing that's come out of the Palestinian Authority. And I just wonder how strong the Palestinian Authority is right now, even within its own area, set aside how strong it might be to take over rulership of Gaza. I don't see any significant leadership coming from the Palestinian Authority that gives me confidence that they will take hold of Gaza and will keep it away from Hamas. I mean, we've been there before, we saw what happened, and I don't feel any confidence that the next phase, if they hand over to the Palestinian Authority, I don't feel any confidence that Hamas will be kept away from the annals of power. So that's just my view, and one of those difficult things that have to still be discussed over the course of the next couple of weeks, exactly what phase 2 is going to look like. This is one of the things that's
Anthony,
on the agenda right now.
Isn't it possible that a lot of the activity in Judea and Samaria has been to remove the Hamas element from within that area, which is a possible reason why there hasn't been much of a peep from the Palestinian Authority? In other words, isn't it possible that these activities actually haven't been part of raiding the Palestinian Authority, strengthening them in order for them to be able to handle Gaza better?
I think that what you're saying is correct, that the activities by the IDF, the operation by the IDF, have been predominantly directed at Hamas elements within Judea and Samaria, within the Palestinian Authority area. One of the places where it becomes really confusing is when those people also happen to be part of the Palestinian Authority security apparatus. There have been quite a number of funerals conducted of people who are serving members of the Palestinian Authority Security Service and who also have identified with Hamas or with Palestinian Islamic Jihad. So there is a lot of confusion about what the apparatus, the security apparatus within the Palestinian Authority looks like, and whether it really is populated with Fatah supporters of Abu Ala, Mahmoud Abbas, or whether it has been infiltrated by opposing elements, which have all really served to weaken his authority and to weaken his ability to govern over the Palestinian Authority. So there seems to me to be a great deal of confusion there right now. And my sense is that the Palestinian Authority is not currently particularly strong. They are not partnering with Israel in this. I mean, they partner with Israel to some degree in the operation, but in the most part, they are standing by or even in some cases opposing Israel's operations, but unable to do so because the might is just too much. But we don't really see Mahmoud Abbas coming out really supporting these operations that the IDF is carrying out. He seems to be very, very silent, as he has been indeed for the last 500 days. Very silent indeed.
Very, very interesting. Okay, so what do we know about the three hostages? Let's just go back to that were released from by Hamas over the weekend in Gaza. How does the, what do we know about this?
So the ceremony of the release mirrored very much the previous ceremonies. The stage was constructed and there were Hamas terrorists with bandanas and weapons, kids kitted out with Hamas uniforms and with live weapons, children of 7, 8, and 9, and 10 years old walking around with these huge weapons at this ceremony to release these hostages, all very much orchestrated and choreographed with the banners up and the little goodie bags and the neck tags, as we've seen before, and even forcing the hostages to make statements and to conduct interviews on the stage before they were finally released to the Red Cross and taken out of Gaza to be reunited with their family. Sagi Dekel Chen left behind a wife and two daughters when he was kidnapped into Gaza. He's come back 498 days later to a wife and three daughters. His youngest daughter is already more than a year old, and he's never met her, or he had never met her until he came out of Gaza on Saturday. And the humanitarian Hamas gave him a little gift for his new daughter. Wow, how thoughtful of them to provide him with a little gift so that he could give his daughter, when he met her at the age of a year and 2 months, for the very, very first time. So Sagi looked in relatively good health. He walked on his own. He was delighted to be reunited with his wife and his children and his parents. Sasha Trufanov is actually an engineer who works for AWS, for Amazon Web Services. And AWS have been speaking a little bit about why they've been keeping a low profile, even though they've been very supportive of Sasha's release, but he was finally released. His mother and his grandmother also were kidnapped to Gaza and were released in one of the early exchanges, one of the hostage releases. So they were there to meet him. His father was killed on October the 7th, and his fiancée was also waiting to meet him when he came out of Gaza. Finally, Yair Horn, who, when he went into Gaza, was a little on the chubby side, and I feel free to be able to say that, Howard, because I identify that with that to some degree. But he definitely did not come back in that same shape at all. He lost a lot of weight. Interestingly, Yair is a huge fan of Hapoel Be'er Sheva football team. And the team, the management of the club, had set a seat aside in the Be'er Sheva Stadium for Yair. Nobody sat in that seat for 498 days while Yair was in captivity. The seat has now been given to him forever for him to be able to watch football games, Hapoel Be'er Sheva. And the helicopter, on its way back from the south to the hospital in the Tel Aviv area, flew over the football stadium to allow him a view of one of his favorite sites in Israel, which of course is the football stadium of Hapoel Be'er Sheva, the Turner Stadium in Be'er Sheva. And so a real identification with the football team. Yair has left his brother Eitan behind in Gaza. And so you can imagine the mental anguish that he is going through, knowing exactly what's going on in Gaza. He has come home. Eitan has remained. And Yair was brought to Ichilov Hospital because that's where his father has undergone a kidney transplant and is in intensive care in that hospital and is in isolation. But they're trying to work out some way that Yair will be able to see his father and, of course, for his father to see him, even though he's in the aftermath of a kidney transplant.
It's just unbelievable. It, you know, we again, going back to that original discussion a few days after October 7th, it is still quite remarkable that we are having these conversations as normal conversations. Well, I don't know if it'll ever be normal, but it is just absolutely remarkable.
It's just, it's on our daily agenda. One of the things I just wanted to share with the listeners was about, of course, with the hostage release comes a massive release of Palestinian prisoners from Israeli prisons. And on this occasion over the weekend, 360 prisoners were released from Israel's prisons. Approximately 330 of them are people who have been arrested since October the 7th in Gaza, who were released back to Gaza as part of the arrangement, of part of the agreement. And more than 30 prisoners were serving life sentences or lengthy sentences in Israeli prisons for having committed murder, for having killed Israelis, one of whom was involved in the Hillel Cafe bombing in Emek Rafaim in Jerusalem that killed seven people. He has been released as part of this deal. Now, we had a picture of the prisoners before they were released, and they were given T-shirts to wear by the Israeli prison authorities. And the T-shirts were white with a blue Star of David on the front and on the back. All prisoners had to wear them. And there was a message printed in Arabic next to the blue Magen David on the front and on the back of the T-shirt. And the message that was printed was, "We will never forgive, never forget." That's the message that the prisoners took home with them on the shirts that they were forced to wear as part of some sort of a psychological warfare campaign. And I just wonder what listeners think about that particular tactic. Of course, it went viral with many of the prisoners trying to burn the shirts as soon as they could take them off. But just another related snippet, I know we've run out of time, but as soon as the hostages are released from Gaza and brought to Re'im camp where they are due to be reunited with their families, each hostage is given the opportunity to have a shower and to change their clothes before they meet their families, if that's what they wish to do. What would you choose to do?
It's just... it is remarkable. It is 8:02. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.